Imaragai Gimbai, Biripi Barai. That means welcome friends to Biripi country. And it is on behalf of the Biripi people, the custodians of this land, I would like to pay respect to the elders, both past and present, and extend that respect to each and every one listening to King's Kids.
Hi, welcome to King's Kids. I'm Heidi. Last week, Tony told us how he met his future wife while he was in prison and how he made a bargain with God that if she was the right one, the one God had selected for him to marry, that he would receive a letter from her in the mail on a certain day. It seemed impossible that a letter could arrive so quickly after her visit to him. And when the mail call was made in the prison that day, his name wasn't called to receive a letter. Had God made a mistake? Had Tony misinterpreted what God had said? Here's Tony to tell us what happened next.
You know what, I started to walk away from the lineup, and I remember saying to God like it was yesterday, I said, God, are you jerking my chain? Are you getting my hopes built up and then nothing? And you know what happened? I'd only just finished saying that, mouthing off to God, saying, you know, you're jerking me chain around, you got me hopes up. Then the prison guard calls out to me. I mean, he yelled out, he said, Deno. I said, what do you want, sir? He said, oh, I got a letter for you. He said, I was just playing with you. He said, I don't know why I didn't give it to you, but he said, it's in my back pocket. He said, you want to come and get it? And I remember looking at the address on the letter. I saw her name at the back of the letter, and it said from Musselbrook. And I knew, without a quiver in my heart, that this was from her, and that God wasn't jerking my chain. God wasn't messing with me. God was keeping his promise. And you know what? I shook. I literally shook. I had tears rolling down my face, and I tore the envelope open and I pulled the letter out. And I read the words that she said, and she said, you know, God put it on my heart to write you this letter. I don't know why, but I had to write it and post it this morning. And she said, God just spoke to me. She said, I just felt that I really needed to write this letter to you. Anyway, I went to tea, and after tea, and I went to the prison guard who mucked around with the letter and held it back from me, and I pulled him aside because you could only make one phone call a week, and you had to be allocated a night to do that, and it wasn't my night to make a phone call. And I remember pulling him aside, and I said, sir, I said, it's really important that I ring this girl and after getting this letter today. And he said, mate, no worries. He said, come over to the office in 10 minutes, he said, and you can make the phone call. And what do you say to a woman that you just met and you didn't even talk to her? You wouldn't even look at her all day. You were so caught up in fear and you was afraid. Anyway, I do what I do best. I just opened my mouth and the words just fell out. And I got on the phone and I said, I got your letter today. I said, I don't know what it meant to you to write that letter, but let me tell you what it meant to me. I said, you're going to marry me 6 months from today. And she just went all quiet. And I said to her, well, when I first went to prison, I said, God, after I had to shoot out with the police, after I got saved in the bull rushes, I said, when I was walking with God in the early hours of the morning, God had spoken to me, and he said, I'm going to send a woman to the prison with two children, and you're going to marry this woman. You need to set a wedding date for 6 months. You know what? When she sent me the letter, she included a photo of herself and her two children. And I knew then that the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, was as good as his word. But you know what? He's a pretty good matchmaker. I don't know what she was thinking, but she just got a phone call from a bloke she'd only met 3 days before and said, we're going to get married and we're going to set a wedding date. And I expected her to hang up, tell, you know, even as a Christian, maybe let out a few curse words and a few swear words and tell me that I was off me rocker and I've been in jail too long. But you know what she said to me? She said, Tony, she said, this sounds pretty serious. She said, I better come up to the jail this weekend and we better sit down and talk about it. And she said, I don't know where I'm going to stay, but I'll have to come for the whole weekend. But she said, I'll have to bring me kids. And I said, that's terrific. I said, let me give you a phone number of a Christian family that have been coming to visit me here. I'm sure if you ring them, you can stay with them. But when she rang them, they said they were going away for the weekend. But they were such a trusting and loving family. The McMillan family, they were so trusting and so loving that they said to her, come up, we'll wait till you get here. Come on Friday and we'll leave you in the house. You can cook your own meals in the house, take food out of the freezer, whatever you want, and the house is yours until you go home on Sunday. That's Christianity. That's real Christianity, because these people, you know, were coming to the prison to visit me weekly. And so, you know, she turned up. She had two little kids with her, and they let her stay in their house, and she rocked up at the prison on the Saturday. And I remember the kids just wanted to, they sat there for 5 minutes, but they was as bored. And there was a lot of other kids on the visit, so, and it was an outside visit in a little guarding setting. And so the kids just do what kids do, run amok. But I'll never forget this other family there was there. And because they can bring in food, they can bring in lollies, they can bring in chips, they can bring in Coke, or they can go and buy it out of the machine. And I remember Matthew disappeared. And when Mandy asked me to go and look for him, he was hiding behind the door inside the visiting complex. And this other family gave him a bag of lollies to share with his family. And he hid behind the door and he ate the lot. And then, needless to say, he got a tummy ache. And then he was crying about his tummy ache. And I said, well, serves you right, son. You should have shared those lollies. Because the other prisoner came over and said, did he share them lollies with you? We gave him a bag of lollies. And I'll never forget it. And he hid behind the door and he ate the lot. I can imagine what he, I don't know why he didn't want to share, but he was 4 years old, I guess. All 4 year olds, it's mine, 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 mine. So Mandy and I sat down and she talked to me and told me what God had spoken to her on the way home after meeting me. And God must have been speaking on the same lines that he spoke to me. Because when I said to her that I had to get this letter by Wednesday, and in the reality, it was impossible, because it normally takes 2 or 3 days to get there. And they only pick it up on Wednesdays, Mondays and Fridays, as I said. Anyway, we sat down, we talked about it. This is the second time that I met this woman. And I said to her, well, God said, once I meet this woman, she's going to have 2 kids, she's going to have this, that and the other. And I said, everything that God said, all the ticks, a saying we should set a wedding date. So she said, well, I'll be back tomorrow to visit you. And when she came back the next day, she had a pen and paper, and she set out. So we started drawing up a wedding list, you know, people to invite, who we wanted to do the ceremony, and all this, and where we was going to have it, which church we was going to have it in. And it never occurred to her or me to say, let's have it here at the jail, you know. Well, and then after we get married, God will get me out. It never occurred to me to say that. We sent out invitations. We invited my family. We invited, she only had a sister and a brother that she wanted to invite, but she had a lot of Christian friends in Musselbrook. And I remember saying, you draw up your list first and I'll draw up mine. And I don't know about her family and friends. I know a few of them were really taken back when they received the wedding invitations. But my family was just unsaved and that unsaved heathens. And they must have thought I really lost the plot, you know, sending them a wedding invitation when I wasn't due out of jail until 2002. And this was back in 1986. And the wedding date was, the magic date was the 7th of February, 1987. That was the day we set for the wedding, and yet I'm still in prison. It was a step of faith, hearing what God promised, taking God at his word, and following through. And that's faith. And we can't move God without faith. And if we don't have faith and believe God, if we can't trust God to tell us things and expects us to do it, then, you know, we haven't got it, we missed it. But a lot was dependent riding on what God promised me, that I'd get out of prison. And so we sent out the wedding invitations. I spoke to this Christian family in Glenis, asked them could their minister marry us. But she wanted her minister to marry us from Musselbrook, so they both agreed to marry us. So there must have been something, God must have tweaked something in these two ministers' heart, that they agreed to the date, they set it aside, and they was going to come and do the wedding. You know, that's God. Only God can organise that. So everything was set in place. The wedding was set. There was only one small problem. I was still in jail. No way of getting out. No way in the physical of getting out. And then about early October of 1986, I got a letter from the parole board. And they said to me, they said, "Dear prisoner, we've considered your parole application," even though I didn't put in for one. They said, "We considered your parole application and we decided to defer the matter till 1997. And this is 1986. And they said, "The earliest you'll be considered for release will be 1997. I mean, I don't know about you, how would you receive news like that when you already set a wedding date for the 7th of February next year? And it was only 2-3 months away. I've always talked about circumstances aren't my God. And to me, it was just another circumstance. Because I believe God when he speaks to me. I don't look at circumstances. And I said to God, "Okay, God, the parole board's not my God. The parole officer's not my God. You are." And I remember saying to God, "Well, I better tell her anyway." So I gets on the phone and I ring her up. And I tells her, I said, "Mandy, I got a letter today from the parole board and they said they won't consider me for release until 1997. And all I could hear was crying on the other end of the phone. I could imagine what was going through her mind because she told all her friends, she told the family, "We're getting married in February." And the parole officer on the parole board says a letter that we're not going to get out, not even be considered, not get out, not even be considered for release until 1997. I said to her, "You got to stop crying. You got to suck it up. And what you got to do is pray with me, stand with me, and let's believe God is as good as his word." Every time I rang her up, every letter that I wrote, and you know, talk about Mills and Boone, because I was in prison, I wrote her a letter every day from the time we met until I got out. And that was probably nearly 3 months. And I wrote her a letter 7 days a week. You know what? It wasn't that long ago. When we was living in Moree, I went through her wardrobe and I found this shoebox. And every letter that I had written to her was in that shoebox. Every love letter, every romance, everything that I wanted to sell this woman was in that shoebox. And I remember saying to her, "God is our God, not the parole board, not the parole officer. You just keep making the wedding arrangements. You get your dress, you get everything you need to do. You book the venue, you organise the catering, you organise the food. I'm going to be there." Because God is not a liar. God doesn't tell boogie pies. And you know what happened? Early November, probably mid-November, I was in my cell on a Sunday morning. They just unlocked the door. And you got about a half an hour to get up, get dressed and go to the dining room for breakfast. Anyway, this prison guard opened up my door and he was a Christian prison guard. In fact, I didn't tell you that early. When the letter was held back from me that time, it was him and he was a Christian prison guard. Anyway, he opened up the door and he said, "Deno," he said, "pack your gear." I said, "What do you mean, pack me gear? Where am I going? What have I done wrong?" First thing you know is I say, "Pack your gear, you've been shanghaied." You know, the old midnight express, but it was in the morning. And he said, "Yes, you're going." And I said, "Where am I going?" He said, "Well, I've got instructions to take you to the airport at Glen Innes. And the special police from the corrective services are going to come and get you." I said, "What for? What have I done?" He said, "No, you're going to the parole board in the morning. You got a special parole hearing tomorrow morning. You're required to be there." And I said, "Well, if I have to be there at 6 o'clock tonight, well, why am I going now?" He said, "Well, I thought you being a Christian." He said, "You might want to spend the day with your church friends in church." And I said, "What?" Are you kidding me? Are you Fair Dinkum? He said, yes, mate. He said, go and grab something to eat. He said, I've arranged for your clothes, your civilian clothes, to be given to you in a bag, and you can put them on when you go to court when you get down there. And I've organised your clothes for you to wear so you can go to church, not in prison clothes, because they don't want you flying on the plane in prison clothes, so you need to put these clothes on. So I went and had breakfast, had a shower and a shave, and then he didn't take me in a paddy wagon or a jail vehicle. He took me in a car, in a private car. He said to me now, listen, I've got a few things to do today. If I drop you at the church or at your friend's place, you promise me you'll be there when I come back for you. And I said, of course I will. Anyway, so he knocked on the McMillan's door and he said, mate, he said, look, I know this is short notice, he said, but Tony's got to fly to Sydney this afternoon, which is a miracle in itself because they don't fly prisoners anywhere. They usually put them in the back of a Black Mariah, which is a paddy wagon. Anyway, he said, they're going to fly Tony to Sydney and he's got to front the parole board in the morning. He said, and I just thought that it would be really nice if you people can take him for the day. So when I turned up at church, they asked me, did I want to preach? And did I want to share? And I did. A couple of guys got saved and God really moved. And after church, because I was going to the parole board, the church decided to have a picnic in the park and the whole, like, you got to really understand, a church picnic in the park wasn't two families, it was the whole church. You know, from 70 down to 2 years old and 6 months old, there must have been 60, 70 people there. So we had this game of touch football, we had a big feed, you know, and I'd never seen nothing like it. And anyway, the guard come back for me at 5 o'clock, and the airport was about 10 k's out of town. He said, yeah, well, I better get you to the airport. So when I got to the airport, they picked me up, the police got off the plane, and they come and got me, and they said, we're not going to put handcuffs on you, and we may have to put them on you when we get to Sydney, at the big airport there. We might have to put them on you there. We get you in a private car, and we'll take you to a safe house. And the reason they was doing all this, because these blokes looked after me when they tried to murder me. And so I couldn't be put back into the main prison system, so I had to go to a safe house for this hearing. But see, God set it all up over a period of time. God took care of every detail. There was another guy who was with me when they tried to murder me, and he was actually taken. He was actually taken down with me, but he was at another jail. And when we got down there, we was both in this safe house together. And they said, look, you can watch TV, you can walk around, but at 10 o'clock at night, we got to put you in a cell. He said, oh, by the way, he said, there's a phone there. If you want to ring family and friends, knock yourself out. Now, that's the favour of God, because they didn't have to do any of that. And when we asked for tea, they sent out for takeaway. They actually went out to a Chinese and got us takeaway. We didn't get the prison slop, you know, and it was fantastic. Anyway, rings her up and she said, you're not to ring me tonight. It's not you and I to ring me. I said, well, I've got good news and bad news. I said, the bad news is I'm not in Glen Innes, but the good news is this, that I'm fronting the parole board in the morning. So I said, if you know anybody, you get them to pray. I told you from the beginning, circumstances isn't our God. God is. And you got to remember that. So we prayed. And you know what? We talked for 4 hours on the phone. Silly things. And you know what we talked about was the wedding. We talked about the wedding, what was in place, what had to be done and what wasn't done. Anyway, the next morning they take me by private car into the district court where the parole hearings were being held. They kept me separated from the other prisoners going up for parole. And you know what I did? I just walked up and down in that cell talking to God, praying, talking to God like I'm talking to you now, just talking to God. And I was in worship and praise and thanks. And I just said to God, I really thank you and praise you for what you're doing because you kept your word. And then when I fronted the parole hearing, the parole officer got up and gave a very negative report why I should never be released on society ever again. And they said, you know, this man spent 5 years as a non-Christian in jail, and and 5 years as a pretend Christian in jail, you know, and he said, we don't think he's suitable to be released on society, at least for another 10 years. And then the judge on the parole board looked over his glasses and he said to me, he said, son, have you got anything you'd like to say? And you know what God promised me a long time ago? God said to me, Tony, one day you'll stand before judges, before kings and queens and presidents. And he said, they'll not ever be afraid of what you're going to say to these people, because you just trust me, open your mouth and I'll fill it with words. And you know what? I preached a 40-minute sermon to the parole board. And when I finished, I said, that's it, that's all I've got to say. I can't even remember the sermon now, but I know this. It took them 3 minutes to make their mind up. And they said, I can get out in 7 days from that day. They released me from prison.
They've been with me through thick and thin. Helped to get me in the shape I'm in. Familiar words that I love to sing, the soundtrack of my life. Going back to when I was a boy, I take to them like a brand new toy. Songs that brought me so much joy, the soundtrack of my life. Whoa, it takes me back. Time slows down with all my friends around. When I share them up on a stage, the picture changes with each new page. But the story remains the same, the soundtrack of my life. So I hope that you might catch my drift and hear the in the melody. Nothing makes me more happy, the soundtrack of my life. Whoa, it takes me back. Yeah, down some old dirt track, when time slows down. Been with me through thick and thin. Helped to get me in the shape I'm in. Familiar words that I love to sing, the soundtrack of my life.
That's it from King's Kids today. I'm Heidi. We've enjoyed having your company. And if you would like a copy of this episode, Tony would love to hear from you. You can call him on 0427 839 474. That's 0427 839 474. You are also able to connect with King's Kids on Facebook at King's Kids Ministries International. God bless. See you next time.